Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's Here and Now. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty in for Robin Young, who left us a story that begins with a dream.
It's a dream I used to have when I was a very little girl. Little me inside a huge, cavernous, thrillingly beautiful train station. Sunlight pouring through what seemed like a mile-high glass and steel atrium. Hundreds of people making their way to trains, when suddenly a man with a gun starts shooting. I run down a marble staircase, down the train track. I think I've gotten away, but then there he is. Did I mention this dream was a nightmare? I never understood what that man was all about, but the more important question was always, where was that magical place? When I was older, I took the Long Island Railroad to New York to work, the rocking train as comforting as a cradle. But we arrived at Penn Station, a claustrophobic dungeon in the belly of Madison Square Garden. That couldn't be my dream.
What?
Then, years later, I came to New York from the north, from Boston and Connecticut, pulled into Manhattan's other terminal, Grand Central, and walked out into, well, I thought, into my dream. A 120-foot-high dome with huge glass and steel windows and a heavenly ceiling covered with stars and constellations. But wait a minute, I'd never been to Grand Central. My trains growing up went to Penn Station. So again, where was I in my dream?
You were in the old Penn Station, an amazing building filled with light, really a train hall palace, really one of the great architectural masterpieces of the world.
The old Penn Station. That's Vince Cipolla from the Municipal Arts Society of New York talking about the 150-foot-high glass and steel-capped marvel built in 1910, designed by the firm McKim, Mean & White to resemble the Roman baths of Caracalla and the Basilica of Constantine. You can still see glimpses of it in films like The Seven-Year Itch and Spellbound. In this scene, Ingrid Bergman and a drugged Gregory Peck are in the station fleeing their enemies.
Listen. When you left the mountains, you must have passed through New York. Wherever you came from, wherever you went, you must have been in a railroad station. You must have heard Edwards ask for tickets to somewhere.
I don't remember.
You will. When you come to the ticket window, try to relive that other time with Edwards. Try to repeat what was said then. Ask for the same tickets.
But except for those glimpses, the old Penn Station is gone. In 1963, the air rights above the trains were sold to Madison Square Garden. The station put underground, the glass cap demolished.
The building was revered. It was a very, very sad day when the building was demolished. An amazing building filled with light, really a train hall palace, really one of the great architectural masterpieces of the world, and a grand train hall. It was a devastating loss to this day, to the city, to lose Penn Station.
As we stand in the beautiful Grand Central and we look up, was it like this?
There's similarity in grandeur. Both buildings were about light and beauty and space, helping us as human beings feel human and alive and that we have arrived in and we are someplace wonderful. And one of the things that I'm so always just taken with about Grand Central is proportion, the scale, just the absolute beauty of this interior architecture. But we see magnificent chandeliers, extraordinary marble, incredible framing of the light from the outside, this magnificent ceiling to the stars. And what we see more than anything are people. People actually looking pretty happy because they're in a space that, you know, lifts us.
Your attention, please. All luggage and parcels must be attended.
Excuse me. Are you on an audio sightseeing tour of a train station?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that before?
No.
What do you think?
It's big and really impressive. Very beautiful.
Excuse me. What are you photographing?
The building, because it's so famous. And then it's like a landmark.
Beautiful, isn't it?
It's gorgeous. And then especially when I watch like the documentary about like the Vanderbilt building this place, yeah. I have to come and take a look.
Where are you from?
From Bangkok, Thailand.
I stand here in Grand Central. I can't imagine someone taking this down. Penn Station, the old one, equally beautiful. I heard that architects were protesting with signs. How could they take it down?
Grand Central, as you know, was also at great risk. It was the Municipal Arts Society that led the fight to save Grand Central. First Lady Jackie Kennedy, Mrs. Onassis, was extremely involved in that effort.
Anybody take this down?
It's really an unthinkable thing. But development pressure in New York. Also at that time, this terminal was very much in disrepair. It had been neglected. And also it was a time when Penn Station was demolished that really as Americans we had turned our back on the cities. We had become an automobile culture. Everything was about the suburbs and suburban sprawl. And people were writing off New York. Train use was down. This station, like Penn Station, was seen as a relic of something of the past, that moment was over, and that we needed to modernize, and we needed to go high, and we needed to create an efficient environment for people to get in and out really, really fast, preferably by automobile. Obviously, there was great leadership in New York who felt very differently.
Is it safe to say that Penn Station, when it came down, ignited the preservation movement that ultimately saved Grand Central?
There isn't any doubt about that. It was an outrage.
Question, though, devil's advocate. There's a lot of air up above us, a lot of space. Could be where people live, people work. Can you really justify empty space up there?
It is absolutely justifiable. There are plenty of places to go up in New York without going up over these extraordinary civic assets that bring in light and air to the public, to the common room, to the living rooms of the city, as this is the living room of the city in Grand Central. It is unthinkable. And by the way, I think we're in a different moment. I think that Americans today and people all over the world really get the importance of light and air. You know, I think we're in a different moment dealing with climate change. Improved ways in which we need to look at how we build our cities, how we build out our regions.
Okay, well, we have luxuriated in the air and light of Grand Central. I think we've put this off long enough. Shall we go to Penn Station?
Absolutely. I'm not looking forward to it so much, but it's important we go.
That's Here and Now's Robin Young with Vin Cipolla of the Municipal Arts Society of New York. Leaving Grand Central Terminal, which, by the way, is ranked the 6th most visited tourist attraction in the world. They're heading across town to Penn Station. That's the biggest train station in North America, but not exactly an attraction. But maybe it could be. When we come back, the battle over rebuilding the blighted Penn Station and perhaps returning it to its former glory. Problem is, what to do with the current tenant, Madison Square Garden. More in a minute, Here and Now. When we last saw our intrepid host, she was traveling from New York's majestic Grand Central Terminal to the subterranean Penn Station. And as we just heard, Robin is one of many who dreamt of the old Penn Station, a beautiful glass and steel monument. Penn Station today is right in the middle of a battle, a familiar one across the country, over what to do about failing infrastructure. On one side, the owners of Madison Square Garden, who in 1963 won a 50-year permit to operate above the current Penn Station, which was put underground when the old one was demolished. That permit is up, and now the garden's owners want it renewed in perpetuity. Their opponents, including the Municipal Arts Society of New York, want to move Madison Square Garden and rebuild Penn Station. They've asked 4 architectural firms to come up with new designs. Those designs will be presented tomorrow. And last week, they won a significant round in this debate when the New York City Planning Commission voted unanimously to limit the garden's permit to 15 years. So let's pick up with Robin and Vin Cipolla of the Municipal Arts Society as they descend from West 32nd Street into the maze of underground halls that is Penn Station.
Now, if we were any taller, right here, we'd have to duck as we come down this escalator. You see all the water damage above us.
We are just inches below the ceiling. There's a claustrophobia here.
And now here's the sign, welcome to Pennsylvania Station. All trains, 4 railroads, the largest transit hub in North America. You've just entered the largest transit hub in North America. It's a 3-level maze of nooks and crannies and hallways.
But again, Vin, to those who might say we're in hard financial times, it's an efficient use of space. It gets people where they need to go.
I would say the opposite. I don't think it is efficient at all. Connections are not direct. People have to wander around. They have to move through several different sections in order to get to where they want to go. When one thinks about what this could be, then you can think about something that is not only fitting and beautiful and what New Yorkers deserve in a train station, but also something that would be much more efficient than this.
Ideas for a better Penn Station, 212-433.
New Yorkers are weighing in. This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC.
I would be so happy if they took the arena off the top, because I think what the station needs is space, upward space, and light to make everyone who goes through it feel human.
I just feel like I'm like a cow pushed into a corral. I just keep going straight until I see something that I recognize.
Or, as historian Vincent Scully famously said, comparing the old and new Penn stations, one once entered the city like a god, one now scuttles in like a rat. Well, at Penn Station, Vin Cipolla and I have scuttled from a corridor into a larger waiting room.
Many of these people are waiting for trains to Washington and Boston. You can see that those two departures up there on the board, when those tracks become available on that board, you'll see people running, queuing up. If they can find it, I mean, what's very funny, but it says, for example, it will say, like, track 7 West. I mean, just glance around and see if you can find 7 West.
I know.
We should start counting. How many seconds will it take? Or minutes?
We're in the basement of Madison Square Garden.
We are in the basement of Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world, a beloved facility.
Which just underwent, did I hear, a billion-dollar renovation?
Teeing up for one of the Acela trains, so you can see the movement of the crowd here.
Yeah,
We're in line. We actually suddenly became in line. Do you want to go to Washington?
With this long line of dispirited-looking people. But how do you get the owners of Madison Square Garden to agree to leave this prime real estate and have their building torn down to make way for air above a train station?
Well, we believe that there should be a first-class arena in Manhattan, just not on this site. This was planned for 200,000 passengers a day. There were about 120,000 people a day then using it. We're now at 650,000 people a day. But this is New York. We do big, ambitious things here. Consider the rebuild of Lower Manhattan. These are big, sweeping, ambitious public-private partnerships that make extraordinary things happen. And so, come on, we can have a new arena and we can have a new Penn Station. It is an imperative that we deliver to the public safe, secure, inspiring environments. That's what we're supposed to do. This is a public space.
But can you deliver back to them what was here? Pink marble, columns. You can't have that. And so is there a possibility that what you have instead is some affordable in these days, modern, controversial, maybe equally soulless building?
I think that something new could be brought to this site that would be magnificent and inspiring. It isn't about nostalgia, architectural nostalgia. That is gone. And trying to recreate the original Penn Station. Yeah, your dream. I'm sorry about that. We can go to Grand Central and experience it that way. This is not scalable. This is not an if, it is a when. This is not sustainable. So right now we've just come down just one level. Look at this. I can touch the ceiling. I can touch the ceiling. I'm not that tall.
Well, and this is also a place that is welcoming millions of people from across the country as they come to go to the theater, and this is how they get welcomed to New York.
Yeah, on a daily basis, it's more than the three New York airports combined. It's a major gateway, and this is how we receive them. I mean, it really is shocking.
Is the money there?
Building this area, the money absolutely would be there. There is, to put it in blunt terms, so much money to be made in redeveloping and regenerating this part of the city. And again, we do these spectacular things. Look at Lower Manhattan and the rebuild of Lower Manhattan. We found a way to build a exciting and incredible new train station larger than Grand Central. We've We just topped the Freedom Tower. This isn't going to be easy. It is complex, but it is doable. It's what New Yorkers do. We know how to do this. We must do this.
At that, Vin Cipolla of the Municipal Arts Society of New York and I part. He goes up to the street. I descend further to the tracks, holding onto the beautiful brass railings, one of the only vestiges of the old Penn Station. I meet a conductor who remembered seeing Penn Station in old movies as soldiers said goodbye to loved ones before shipping off.
So you remember seeing the old train station in the movies?
Yes, I do. The World War II era movies, the train station was absolutely gorgeous back then. I'm surprised they tore it down. What?
The conductors still punch your ticket on the Long Island Railroad, but the stops are called out over a PA.
Baldwin, Freeport, Merrick, Belmore.
The cars still rock like a cradle. The sound between cars is thrilling. I know, you're not supposed to open the doors. Backers of a new Penn Station are hoping that last week's City Planning Commission decision denying Madison Square Garden a permit longer than 15 years will mean time for all the players, the railroads, local, state, federal agencies, the Dolan family, which owns Madison Square Garden, and community groups, to sit down and hash out a solution. But the Dolans are still claiming rights to the site. There's talk of a lawsuit. Architecture critic Michael Kimmelman wrote yesterday in the New York Times that he worries about a loophole that could allow the garden to stay. He hopes the city council, which has the final say in the next 2 months, will close it. Well, stay tuned. Meanwhile, this story began with my nightmare about the old Penn Station. It ends with my new nightmare. I have to go back to the current one.
Well, in Penn Station the night, oh Lord. In Penn Station the night.
Here and Now's Robin Young. Send us your memories and dreams of Penn Station at hereandnow.org. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.